Church. Amen. You may be seated. As you're being seated, I just want to remind you, this summer we've been looking at children's books as a lead-in for the book. We've been following different popular children's stories and teaching how they lead us into the story that is the Word of God, the Bible, Scripture itself. And so we've been using different well-known children's books like The Giving Tree on graduation Sunday to remind our graduates and ourselves that life is found not in self-absorbed living, but in giving, like The Giving Tree. And specifically, joyful living. Eternal joy is found in the perspective of Jesus, others, yourself, and living in them priorities in life. The week after The Giving Tree, it was The Very Hungry Caterpillar, where we considered what we're consuming in life. Yes, the foods that we're consuming, like the broccolis and the blueberries and so on and so forth, but also the Bible that we're consuming. Because Jesus said, man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of our God. And so we got to feed our soul. And what are we feeding our mind? Is it the video games? Is it the things we scroll through? Is it the things we watch? Or are we renewing our minds in this heavenly act of worship that Jesus conforms us to in this way? And so Caterpillar taught us about consuming. And then last week, we covered the book Too Much Noise, where we were just considering the noisy day that we live in and how do we cultivate solitude to leave space to hear the gentle whispers of God. If you remember from Elijah's story in Scripture last week, Elijah had an experience with God where there was wind that was beating rocks to part, and the earthquake shaking beneath him, and fire all around him. But it says God wasn't in those things. He was in a gentle whisper where he revealed himself to Elijah. I had walking into church this morning in the first service, someone slipped me this little piece of paper that they had in their Bible tucked away in the passage of 1 Kings 19 before we preached on it last week. And I said, thanks a lot. You're 7 days too late. I could have used this last week. I'm jamming it in this week anyways. It says this. This was coming from a Bible of someone in the pews. It says, don't miss the voice because you're expecting thunder and lightning. Sometimes the most profound truths are in the quiet whispers. Not always looking for the miraculous for God to reveal himself, but in the routine, the quiet things, that sometimes God is revealing who he is and what he's up to. Learned that last week through the children's book, Too Much Noise. All that sets us up for this week. Kiddos, I'll remind you, our summer rhythm, we don't have wiggly worship. We will have we worship after this story time. But what we're going to do when the theme music starts, Reading Rainbow from the 90s, beautiful thing. When the theme music starts, we want to find a seat on the front steps. We've got our fifth grade ELA teacher from BES, Mrs. Nystrom, that is our guest reader today, and she'll be reading the book, The Three Little Pigs. And so here comes the theme music. Let's march to the front of the church and get ready for our next summer story.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere, friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. A reading rainbow.
Mrs. Nystrom, what are we ready for next?
All right, we're reading The Three Little Pigs. Raise your hand if you've ever heard the story of The Three Little Pigs. Millions of times. Wow. Does anybody have a guess at how old this story is? The first time this story was put into a book. Oh, and 50 years ago? That's a good guess. Were you here last year? I'm not going to call on you, Barrett. Okay, in the 70s? 150 years old? Those are all really good guesses. This book was first put into a book 185 years ago. But they think that this story is even older than that. Does anybody know how stories were told before there were books? Liam? Yeah, people telling them, people speaking them and repeating that story. What do you think happens when people tell stories without the book in front of them? Lily? Okay, there are things called tall tales, yes, but what could happen? Dominic. Everybody retells the story. Do you think they retell it the exact same every time? Yeah, they could make it different. So this story has a lot of different versions. The story that you heard might be different from this story today. So as you're listening, be thinking about, is this the same as the story I heard before? Okay, or is it different? The three little pigs. On the edge of a beautiful forest lived a mommy pig, a daddy pig, and three little pigs. The time had come for the three little pigs to leave home. Watch out for the big bad wolf, warned the daddy pig as he waved goodbye. The three little pigs hadn't walked far when the first little pig grew tired. Ah, this will do, yawned the lazy little pig. He quickly built a house from straw that was laying nearby. It wasn't long before the second little pig stopped walking and looked around her. This'll do, she said, and swiftly built a house from the sticks and branches that were scattered around her. The third little pig walked on and on and on. Finally, he found a pretty area of land by a stream. It was the perfect place to build his house. The third little pig decided to build a strong brick house to keep him safe from the wolf. He drew plans, he bought the best bricks that he could find, and finally, after weeks of hard work, he stood back and admired his beautiful new home. Meanwhile, the hungry, big, bad wolf came across the first little pig resting in his house of straw. Little pig, let me come in, said the wolf. Not by the hair on my chinny chin chin, cried the first little pig. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, howled the hungry wolf. So the big bad wolf huffed and he puffed and the tiny straw house came tumbling down. The little pig ran as fast as he could until he arrived at the house made of sticks. The big bad wolf snuck up to the house. Little pigs, let me come in, he growled. Not by the hairs on our chinny chin chins, cried the frightened little pigs. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, howled the hungry wolf. So the big bad wolf huffed, and he puffed, and the wobbly stick house came tumbling down. The two little pigs ran on and on and on until they finally reached the third little pig's house. Don't worry, we're safe in my strong brick house, said the third little pig as they heard a bang at the door. Little pigs, let me come in, said a familiar voice. It was the wolf. Not by the hairs on our chinny chin chins, cried the three little pigs. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down, howled the hungry wolf. So the big bad wolf huffed and he puffed and he puffed and he huffed. But nothing happened. The house didn't even wobble. The wolf was furious and very hungry. He climbed up onto the roof and jumped down the chimney. Splash. Oh! The wolf landed in a pot of boiling hot soup and burned his long furry tail on the fire. He leapt out of the chimney and ran away as quickly as he could. As for the little pigs, they lived happily ever after in their house made of bricks. They never, ever saw the big bad wolf again. The end.
Boys and girls, can you give Mrs. Nystrom a round of applause? Pastor Justin might have made fun of her howl in the first service, and she definitely gave you the better version. Second service usually gets the better version as is, huh? Well done, Mrs. Thank Nystrom. You. Boys and girls, I got a couple questions for you with that book that Mrs. Nystrom just read us. Most stories have what's called a villain. It's a bad character, someone that does things not right. Who was the villain in this story, Hayden? The wolf? And what was the wolf doing that made him the villain, the bad character, Claire?
He was trying to blow all their houses down.
He was trying to blow their houses down? Did he succeed?
Not all of them.
Not all of them. What did pig number three do that was different than his siblings, pig number one and pig number two? Clay, what did pig number three do differently? He built a house out of bricks. Bricks are hard, aren't they? It's kind of like rocks, like hard material. Like Jesus told us to build our house on a rock, something solid, and bricks would be something solid, huh? And pig number one and pig number two, they built it out of what, Barrett?
I know. All straw and sticks.
Straw and sticks. And so when the wolf huffed and he puffed, the straw and the sticks crumbled, right? But with the brick, it says in Mrs. Nystrom's reading, it didn't even wobble, huh? What happened at the very end of the story to the big bad wolf, Lena?
He ran away. He ran away. He got into a big thing.
Big bad wolf got in big bad trouble, huh? Very good, boys and girls. Very good paying attention to the story. We're going to learn more about how the children's book leads us into the book next. But what I need you to do, if you're a wee worshiper, I'm going to go with you today. We're going to go to the back of the church where Mrs. Jump is, and we're going to start wee worship. Everyone else who's kindergarten and older, let's find a seat next to our parents or guardians or who we came to church with. Let's have a seat at this moment. Yeah. Yep. As our wee worshipers are exiting and our wiggly worshipers are finding our seat next to our parents there, I've got a surprise for all of us big kids and little kids alike. We are bringing in for Father's Day the big bad wolf known as Steve Pausch to bring this morning's sermon. And so make the big bad wolf feel welcome as he comes forward to deliver this morning's sermon.
Well, quite the introduction I get from him. That's the way it works. Well, good morning. Hello? Hey, there we go. All right. I feel bad for whoever wrote that story. You know, I've read many versions of The Three Little Pigs, but this one is a little bit different. And some of you will relate with this. Why is the woman pig saying the hair on the chinny chin chin? I don't understand that. So as I look through this, I read there are hundreds of different stories of the three little pigs. There are just many different versions. Even one of them has the wolf is a good guy in one of them, all right? So there are many, many versions, which allows me today to give you another version. I'm going to give you my version of what the three little pigs are today, but that's it. So my name is Steve Pausch, as Justin mentioned. I've known Justin and Julie for a long time, and we've been at church here, I don't know, 8, 9 years, somewhere in that department. I get the opportunity to be involved with the best small group that meets here. I also get to help with the teenagers and the things that are going on with youth group stuff. And so I really enjoy the summer sermon story series. That's the way I understand. I understand stories, all right? I speak in stories. I think in stories. And that's something that I enjoy. So I've really enjoyed that. I enjoy the parables that are in the Bible that Jesus teaches. I think there's just a power in stories that that we understand. For over 35 years, I have worked for an organization that's called Youth for Christ. What we do is that we go out and we try to provide activities for young people that would introduce them to who Jesus is. What we do is we try to get a kid, and what we say is a kid who would never come to church unless somebody brought them. That is our target audience. And I've got teen centers that are in Brunswick and in Wadsworth, and I've got things that happen over in the detention center in Fremont. And we use stories a lot. One of the best things I like is that in the detention center, a lot of our staff will use VeggieTale stories, and they'll play them on the video. And kids who are locked up really enjoy seeing any kind of a video because they don't have their phones with them or anything else. But what the best thing is to see these kids, some of them are actually hardened criminals, and they're watching little vegetables without hands and arms attached that are telling them a story, and they're laughing and having a great job. So stories are very powerful for us, and that's one of the ways that we do it. And so I would like to invite you to something. We send out a newsletter on a regular basis, and that newsletter has stories about the kids we work with and various other things. So if you would like to be get one of those sent to you, I would ask you to fill that out. So there's, you only need one per family. So there's a card in there. And when it reaches the back, if you'd like to fill it out, go right ahead. If not, you can pause for a moment and then just send those back up. So that's the only time in church you're allowed to be passing things back and forth. All right, do not put notes about how boring I am in the middle of it. Just fill out the card and kind of let it go if you would like. So we'll send that to you. If you'd like to hear some of the things we're doing, that's what those are. So fill that out. You can stick it back, pass it back to the people behind you. And then when it comes back, we'll get to it. So after that, I guess you would call that a shameless plug for the work that we do. You know, we're going to talk about the three little pigs. But before I talk about the three little pigs, I'd ask you, would you just join me in a word of prayer? Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the fact that we call you Father. We thank you that that you made us the way that you made us, and you love us and care for us, and you were willing to send your son Jesus for us. Today I pray that the words that I've prepared would not be mine, but they would be yours, that you would speak through me, and you change anything that needs to happen here, Lord, that would come out the way that you want it. We just thank you, and we ask that you'd join us here, that you'd pull up a seat and be a part of our service here. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Father's Day is one of those great days. I enjoy Father's Day. My wife and I, we have been blessed with six children, and I know some of you are saying, how in the world did you end up with six children? And my key to that is I don't let my wife go to the eye doctor. So she remembers years ago when I had hair and looked better and there was less of me, and so she doesn't know any different. And I pay the eye doctor to not really fix her eyes. So that is a key that'll help for you if you want. So last summer, Justin asked me to preach when he was doing another series. And I'm not sure why he picks these weird series, but then he sticks me in the middle, so I have to struggle with certain things. Last summer, he thought because I have four daughters, I would know all about Taylor Swift. I did not. But I had to buy books, and I had to read things, and I had to listen to music that I don't understand. I don't know about you, but I have to have closed captions on for music and most movies. It's just easier now because I can't understand the words without a closed caption on the TV because it's just too hard for me. And so this summer, he decided he was going to give me a book, and he asked me to do that. And I thought it would be easy to just do the story of the three little pigs. Probably many of you would remember this story of the three little pigs. It was the Walt Disney one, and there was a very short little Walt Disney video that we watched years ago, the old cartoon, and they, you know, they sing the song that says, "Who's afraid of the big bad?" That was what I remembered. I did not know there were hundreds of different versions of the three little pigs. And the one that we said here, and the one that the Disney is, when the little pig gets their house blown down, they run to the neighbors. All right, they run to their other pig brother and they hang out over there. Many of the versions have a different story. When the wolf blows down the pig's house, the wolf has lunch. So we didn't want to read that one today, but that's the reality. And so everybody I ask, I asked 13 people, I think it was, 13 people, and every one of them say, oh, the pig runs to the neighbor's house. Then there was a teenage girl who was a farm family. And I said, well, what happens in the Three Little Pigs? And she told me exactly how the wolf had lunch. So the good thing is that farm families tell their children the truth. The rest of us city people lie to the kids and make up some other story that the pig ran next door to the neighbors, all right? So it seemed like I read hundreds of different books, and I looked up different ones on there, and I couldn't really figure out how to do this. And so what I decided today is that I've got a different way that we're going to tell this story. But we have to look to the background. All right, all of them start with mama or mama and daddy's house, all right? And then the pigs are leaving. And so I had to figure out, well, what exactly does mama's house look like? All right, what were they being taught? As we know, as parents, we teach our children things. Doesn't mean they listen, all right? But we try to teach them. Doesn't mean that they capture all that and hold it, all right? But mama was teaching the pigs some things, all right? And so they were spending all that time with her, and they do it. But each one of those pigs, each one of those children were different. They had their own personalities. They had their own goals. They had their own thoughts, right? We know that they have their own thoughts. So mama taught them about life. So I picture that mama pig was a good mama, all right? Mama took them to church and Sunday school on Sundays. Mama talked about Bible stories around the dinner table, all right? This story's old, so they all had dinner together every night, all right? That doesn't happen so much today with kids, all right? And so they did all that. And what I found as we go through this is that everyone in this room can relate with one of those pigs. And I'll tell you how. You're going to relate with one of them in one way or another. Not just you, but everybody in this world can relate to one of the three pigs. And I'll explain how that works as we go on. All right, so what was Mama Pig's house like? I thought that Mama Pig's house would have been a big, strong, tough kind of house. It would have been dry inside. All right, would have been nice. Mama cooked there a lot. All right, they're pigs. They like to eat, right? So Mama was doing a lot of cooking. They ate there. They slept there. There was food everywhere. They were family, so there was a big room for them all to gather. Mama's house was just what you wanted. It was a safe place. We know that Mama's house was safe because these guys grew up enough to be able to leave. All right, so I'm not sure what it was made out of, but it was a safe place. It was probably roomy. There was places to sit together. All right, I don't know what games pigs play, but they probably hung out together and played pig games. All right, but I'm not sure what happens here, okay? But there is a point in the story every time where they say, all right, time to get out. All right, does this mean that the pigs are now seniors in high school? All right, and it's time for them to go off to college? All right, one of the things that I always did was I told my children, I want you to live here forever. And then as soon as they could, they left. I planned, oh, I'll just buy the property next to us and I'll build the house back there and we can have it all in the middle, da da da. And they're like, whoop. And they all went back to Cleveland. So they're all leaving. All right, so I don't know what happened here. I don't know why that's the way it is. All right, but at some point, the pig babies have to hit the road. All right. And so Mama says, get out. And so the book that I read, most of the books had the three sons, all right? They didn't have the girl with the hair on her chin. Okay, so pig number one, as he takes off on his journey, pig number one looks at things a little bit different, all right? And pig number one says this, well, I need a house, but I don't need everything that Mama had. I don't need all that stuff that Mom had. I don't need a house exactly like hers. You know what? Straw is quick. I can build the house quick. I can be done with it, all right? And then I can go play and do all the things I want to do, all right? Now, because there's children in the room, we're not going to think about all the things that pig number one goes out and does, but the reality is, all right, I just need a house. Pig one says, I just need a house that'll, for the most part, keep the rain out. All right, straw will kind of do that. I just need a house that'll keep the bugs out, all right? Even if the bugs live in the walls, that's no big deal, all right? And I just need a place to sleep. So pig number one doesn't have a long list because he says, you know what? I'll just eat out every night. I don't have to cook in my house because a straw house would not be a good one to cook in. So I don't need that. Oh, I don't need any heat. You know, I don't need a fireplace because I'll just put a bunch of straw around me. All right, so pig one is always saying, Mama had all that stuff. She made good sense out of it, but I don't need it. All right, so I'm not going to do it. And straw is not real strong, pig one says, but, you know, nothing ever happens in this neighborhood. So pig number one has already made his mind up, and he goes, and then his final thing is he says, you know what? I don't really believe all that stuff that Mama taught us. She made us go to church. I don't believe it. She made us look at the Bible. I just think it's a bunch of stories. So pig number one more or less says, you know what? I got this. I don't need all that stuff that Mama talked about. I can be my own pig. I've got it, and I got it handled. There may be some people in this room today who think you've got it all handled. You don't need God. You're talented. You got skills. You can do it all. You don't need God. You may know a friend. You may have someone in your family. There may be a neighbor who says, I got this. What is our job? Maybe to help them understand a little bit. The Bible speaks about pig number ones, all right, and it gives us some verses. James 4:7 says, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So sin is knowing what the right thing to do and then not doing it. All right? We all do that quite frequently, probably. All right? Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So pig number one didn't want to listen to the advice, all right? He knew what was right in his own eyes, and he said, I've got this. Are you in here and you're just thinking, I've got this? I don't need to listen to other things? All right? I hope not. Ephesians 5:17 tells us, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. All right? So that pig was making his own decisions. He had his own place to live, and that is it. And then Psalm 14:1 says this, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. If you're here today and you're not really sure, you just came because someone invited you, all right, that's a great place to start. But if you don't understand who God is, there's a challenge to be able to do that. All right, pig number two, we're moving on to pig number two. Pig number two says, I need to have a house. I'm just going to use sticks. Sticks are a little bit better than straw. Sticks are going to keep the wind from blowing through the walls. All right, sticks will keep most of the bugs out and some of the animals that would crawl in here. That's all I need. All right, I don't need to have heat. I'll just get a blanket. I don't need to cook. I'm a vegetarian. All right, so pig number two changes everything because he's too lazy to do any of the other stuff. All right, Mom was always cooking. I don't want to do that. That takes up too much time. I want to do other things. All right, I don't need a big room. I'm not going to invite people over, said pig two. All right. And then he says this, maybe I'll do that later. Maybe later I'll get some of that stuff. Maybe later I'll start to understand what Mama taught me at church. Maybe later we'll get there. All right? So Mama had some things that I believe, but not everything. I'll just pick up and choose. I'll just pick and choose what I believe, but not yet. My motto is... So pig number two's motto is, I've got plenty of time. Nothing's going to happen to me. I've got plenty of time. I'll go off and do all the things that I want to do. I'll go enjoy life. Sometimes I see this with young people who leave their family and go off to college. I'll do whatever I want. I'll come back and find Jesus later. I'll choose that when I want to. But right now, I'm not ready because I've got plenty of time. Maybe there's someone in here today who's saying that same thing. I don't really want to follow Jesus completely. I don't want to give him everything. There's too many rules. I don't like all that stuff. But I got plenty of time to decide what I want to do. The Bible calls that person someone who is lukewarm. In the book of Revelation, it's written to the churches. And it's written to churches, and this is what the book says. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out of your mouth. All right? The Bible says that they don't want you to be just lukewarm. They don't want you to just be sitting here as a warm body. They want us doing some things. They want us being involved in church. They want us being out there, all right? James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." All right, if you're sitting here on a Sunday morning, week after week, there are things that are here for you to do, all right? You've been challenged to go out and do it. We need to do that, all right? And then Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other." You're either serving the world or you're serving God. Pig twos like to stand in the middle. They like to do both. They like to try to figure it out. Okay, pig threes are a little bit different. Pig threes are the ones that went to church with mom every day and stayed after and asked the pastor a question, not just to get a piece of candy, all right, because they wanted to know the answer. Pig threes were always listening. Pig threes were questioning what was going on. Pig three wanted to find out what it was all about. And so when it was time for pig three to leave, he said, "I want a strong house just like mama's house. I want it to be dry. I want it to be warm. I don't want bugs and other animals. I want to cook and hang out with other pigs. I want to invite the neighborhood pigs over who don't know anything about God. I want to invite them to my house. I want a strong house. I want to work hard and follow the rules and build a strong house just like mama's house." So that's what he did, all right? And so pig number three had a motto also, and his motto was, "I'm all in." So I believe there's people in this room today that you are all in. You want to do everything that God has provided for you. You want to serve him. You want to tell others about him. You want to move on, and you want to do that. All right, that is the goal out of these pigs, all right? So what does it mean to be all in? All right, Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Do it with all your heart. If you're in a small group, be a part of that small group. Don't only go when it's convenient. All right, if you're coming to church, be at church. Be there, be early, shake hands, all right? That's a tough one for us. Every Sunday morning, we have car trouble. Well, actually, we have trouble getting in the car and leaving. All right? It's always something. Actually, we have one car out in the parking lot that broke when my wife came to a Bible study yesterday. All right? So I have two cars here. One's got to go home with AAA. All right? But the reality is, come to church. Be here. Be involved. Be ready to go. Find out how you can help. What can you do? All right? Galatians 6:9 adds to that. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." All right, pig threes spend a lot of time trying to help. All right, Deuteronomy 6:5 tells us this. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Are you loving God with everything that you are? Do those people around you know when they look at you, that that's what you are? That you're a follower of Jesus? Do people know that? Would there be enough evidence to convict you of being a follower of Jesus? All right. As I went through these stories and I worked on that, as I tried to figure it out, I was trying to guess, why do they not give the pigs names? A lot of the stories, a lot of children's stories, they have a name, right? This one, we just get three pigs. All right. Why is it that it's like that? All right. When I looked at some of them, like, well, Mary had a little lamb, right? There's a song. All right, Hansel and Gretel, they had names. They didn't say just say brother and sister. Why'd they give that one a name? All right, story of Charlotte's Web. All the animals, I think, have names in that whole thing. All right, all the different, there's there. And I'll tell you this morning, Bambi almost got a new name as I was driving down Route 20 when she ran in front of me. All right, but luckily she heard my horn and turned around. All right, so the reality is all these different ones have names. Why do the three little pigs not have names? Because I think it's easier for us to insert our name in there. Is it easier for you to be a pig one, a pig two, or a pig three? Pig threes take work. It's easy to be a pig one. But does your name fit in one of those? I believe everyone in this room, you can be one of those. It's going to fit in one of those if you can have it. So my question is, which pig are you? Which pig fits who you are today? So today, if you were like a pig three, you would say, I am a pig three. You put your name in the story. And when it says, I'm a pig three, we need you at church. We need you to be involved. There may be someone here today who all they needed was your handshake or a smile, and that changed their life. So they need you to be here. We need you. We need you in small groups. We need you to be a part of that, to do that, all right? There's someone here who needs to hear your story, how God changed your life and how you worked at it. All right, we have a softball team that meets at the church, or it meets from the church, and they play in Norwalk. I went to the game. I've been to a couple of games. All right, Pastor Brad over here won the game the other night with a hit. The Journey boys are hitting the ball all over the place. All right, we had a bib home run the other night. His first one, almost, there's kids around the outfield or past the fence. He almost hit his kids in the head. But the fun thing is there's a lot of people sitting there in the rain watching a game, hanging out together. Those are the things that we need to do. We need to hang out. We need to be together. We need to do that. All right? And so we can do it. I want you, I'm going to read out of the book of Matthew quick, because this is what pig threes do. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24. And you've heard this before. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Sounds a lot like the story of the three little pigs. I wonder where they got that from, right? The reality is that meets us, all right? So pig number three not only built a strong place, a strong house, he made a safe place for others. He invited them over. He said, come on over, all right? So who is it that you, pig number three, could invite to church next week? Who is it that you, pig three, could invite to a Bible study? Who is it that you could just make something for them and take them to your neighbor who you know needs to know Jesus? Pig threes do those kind of things. So who is it that you're going to do? Who is God putting on your heart? Pig three, to bring to church, to tell them about Jesus. Who is it that they've got there for that pig three? If today you're like pig two, all right, being here on a regular Sunday that's not a holiday is a start. So if you're here today, pig two, and you don't normally come, that's a great start. Keep coming. Come back next week. Start reading your Bible a little bit, all right? We don't want to be like pig twos are like the man who saw the preacher out at the store. So he saw the preacher and he tried to evade him for a while, right? He went down the aisle and then sooner or later they ran right into each other and he had to talk. And so the preacher says, well, how are you? He goes, well, how come you haven't been to church lately? And this man who was like a pig two says, well, you know, every time I come to church, you play the same song, so I'm just kind of tired of it. And the preacher looked at him and says, well, that's what happens when you come on Easter and Christmas. That's what a pig too is. A pig just comes once in a while. They just show up every once in a while when you're supposed to, all right? Or whatever days that you think you're going to have a meal afterwards, all right? That's what pig twos are like. We're not supposed to be that way. We're not supposed to be a lukewarm Christian. All right? People should know that you are a follower of Jesus because you do. All right? There are people here at church who just need to see you. You may be the only person that they ever really relate to. All right? When we look at that picture of those pigs, we had the one girl who's wearing like the overalls, and then we had the other pig that I thought was like biker pig, right? He's got like a vest on. You know, we're all different. There's different things, but we connect with a person differently. All right? God has given us those kind of things. All right? So if you're a pig too, figure out how to get involved in some things that we're doing. Be more regular at church. And we'd like to see you here. And if you find yourself feeling like a pig one today, all right, you're here, you hear the stories from the Bible, but you don't really believe it. You're here, and you really want to believe in that stuff, but it just doesn't make sense. Sometimes the science makes more sense than what God says. If you're here today and that's you, I want to challenge you. If you don't believe God, tell him. If you don't believe in the Bible, tell God, I think the Bible is not true. I want you to tell him. Because guess what? God can handle it. There is nothing you can say to him that he can't handle. Challenge him to show you what it means. Challenge him to bring someone in your life who's going to help you understand better. If you find yourself as a pig one today, I want you to do that. Because God can handle your disbelief. You can start a relationship with Jesus today. I often tell people, it doesn't matter how far we are away from Jesus, as soon as we turn around, he will be right there. So he is right there today. The Bible tells us that he is standing at the door and knocking. He is standing at the door of your heart knocking. You're not here by accident. God has called you. Open up that door and ask him to come in. If you're a pig one, there is a God who loves you and a Jesus who died for you. He loves you so much. So if you're a pig one today, I want you to hear that God loves you, all right? Don't let another day go by without choosing to walk with Jesus. I want to end with this story here. There's a story that goes way back in the Old Testament, all the way back to a man named Moses, all right? And the Israelite people are being taken captive, all right? And they are hidden there, and the guy in charge is a Pharaoh. So that would be the big guy at that point. He's the Pharaoh, all right? And God has brought down all these different plagues on the people is a way to be able to get them to release the Israelites. And there's a bunch of different ones, but the one that I'm going to talk about today is the plague of frogs. So I want you to think about what having a plague of frogs means, that the frogs came out of the water, they came everywhere, they went everywhere. So when you're at home and you're going to make some macaroni and cheese and you grab your pot out, you got to dump out the frogs, all right? If we had a plague of frogs and you opened up the fridge to get your milk, now they're probably moving a little slower, but there's still frogs that are everywhere. Everywhere you step in your bare feet, there's frogs. You go to put on your jammies and it's full of frogs. Everything that you do, there are frogs everywhere. And this is over the entire land. And God tells them to go ask Pharaoh when he wants to get rid of the frogs. And so Moses says, God will remove the frogs on the day that you choose, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's answer is, tomorrow. He could have done it right immediately. God would have taken him away right now, but yet he says, tomorrow. Let's just live one more night with the frogs. If you're a pig one, don't be like Pharaoh. Don't wait. Choose to follow Jesus today. Choose to take that first step. There's no reason to wait till tomorrow. Jesus is there for you today. The Bible tells us to choose this day who you will serve. I want you to know there is a wolf that is waiting outside that wants to take you. It wants to change everything. So choose today to become a follower of Jesus. If you don't know how to do that, we would love to help you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity today that we had to be here. I thank you for the challenges you brought to my heart as I prepared this, the ways that I need to love people better. Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us as we go out. If there's anyone here today who does not know you personally, Lord, I pray that you would call to them, draw them to you, so that they would know what it means to be a follower of yours. We just thank you for those in this room who've chosen to follow you. Lord, I pray that you'd give us opportunities to share your love with others. Lord, we thank you for this day. Pray through your name.
Amen. Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate it. One of the things that through the morning has kind of jumped out to me, kind of in addition to and along the line of the idea of the rock. We're going to sing a song here shortly called My Hope Is Built, but the opening song that we sang was called Honey in the Rock. And it's this idea that going all in, having this strong foundation, isn't something that just holds us steady necessarily in hard times, although it certainly does do that. But that strong foundation also supplies us with goodness and grace, even in the midst of of good times and happy times, supplies us with sweet things, if you will. And so that idea of going all in and having that strong foundation and standing on that at all times, I think is something that is just something to keep in mind. So if you're willing to stand and sing with us, we're going to close our time together by singing through this hymn that My Hope Is Built.